On such a wonderful day that the Lord has given us. A couple announcements. Tomorrow night is council meeting, and there are council meeting packets out there in the gathering place. Hopefully everybody can be there because there's a lot of things going on. Mission Fellowship is collecting money for YWAM, Youth with a Mission. There are brochures out there to tell you about their fire that they had back in March. So we're helping them out with some donations. So it can be either cash or checks. On Fire is in need of volunteers for the fair, for their food stand, and there's also a sign-up sheet out there also, and that is Saturday, July 27th, and that's Demolition Derby Night, to help them with the food stand. The flowers today are from Nettie Crawl's funeral, so our sympathies to the family. Jess Singer has an announcement.
Good morning. Just a reminder, our Vacation Bible School will be taking place June 23rd through the 27th. If you haven't gotten your children signed up yet, there is a link on our website. Grandchildren, friends, anyone is welcome. Also, we're still looking for volunteers. There is a sign-up sheet out in the gathering place. If you're willing to volunteer, please sign up. Thank you.
And also this afternoon at the Wenger Meeting House at 2 o'clock. Okay, this afternoon at the Wenger Meeting House at 2 o'clock this afternoon is a hymn sing. So can everybody stand up and greet one another? The power of Jesus' name. Okay, can everybody turn to their bulletin to the call to worship? There's a new wind blowing. The wind of the Spirit is blowing in our church. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. May we all bow our heads in prayer. Come, Lord, work upon us, set us on fire, and clasp us close. Be fragrant to us, draw us to our loveliness, and let us love, let us run to you. Amen. And now for special music, a duet by the Wideman, Barb and Barb. B&B.
When Barb and I picked these songs up, I told her these are songs that I grew up with when I was a child. But this morning when I read my devotions, I just thought the devotion that I read would be appropriate for our church. And it goes like this. In our prison, we have two choirs. One sings in English and the other in Spanish. I am in the English choir. On the months that have a fifth Sunday, we celebrate what we call Super Sunday. On Super Sundays, the English and Spanish choirs join together to sing every song in both languages. On our first Super Sunday, it became a powerful experience when we all sang together in harmony. During the altar call, both choirs surrounded the congregation while singing, "We Give You All." Those who felt called to pray did so, so I got down on my knees, put my face to the ground, and felt the Holy Spirit surround me as I prayed. When I finished praying, I stood and looked across the congregation. What I saw amazed me. As I looked from person to person, I knew Jesus was smiling and loving his church. In the scripture quoted, the psalmist says, it's good and pleasant when God's people live in unity. When believers come together in love to worship, the connection and unity that occurs is powerful. Jesus' love unifies believers and creates harmony. Whether we are at church, whether we're at home, at work, or even in prison, we can be encouraged by the power of worshiping as one. Dear God, help us to live and worship together in harmony today and every day. Amen. If you would all turn your pages in the Brown Hymnal, page 4, Barb and I are going to be playing this song, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," and the verses that we'll read to you are very appropriate also. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home.
Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure.
Which one?
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last and our eternal home.
And now we will play it for you.
The children come up front. Children's story time.
Are you good? Okay, good. Hi there, Miss Kendallin, looking all pretty. All right, let me get around on this side. So, how many of you have flown a kite? You? Okay. Anyone else?
One time?
Okay. Charlotte has. Have you ever seen a kite? Those that have not flown it, have you ever seen a kite? You did? And it blew away? Okay. So what makes a kite stay up in the sky? What is it?
Wind.
Wind, yes, the wind makes it. Can you see the wind? No, not really.
I can feel the wind.
There you go. You can feel it. Very good. I was going to say, sometimes you can hear it. Yep. If it is really, really strong. All right. Brooke is going to give you little pieces of paper. You're going to hold them in your hand. We're going to see what wind does, okay? So she's going to hand out little bitty pieces of paper. Everybody gets a couple. There you go. Yep, make sure you hold them in your hand. Kind of cup it like this. There you go. There's Charlotte and Benji. Okay, hold it right in your hand. Go ahead and put one in mine, please. Thank you. All right. On the count of three, what do you think we should do? Blow on it. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Woo! Yours didn't even move. All right, you got to have some more air. Make some more air go. There you go. Now it went really far. So, we can't actually see wind, but we know that it's there, right? Uh-huh. Today is a very important day in the life of the church. It's called Pentecost Sunday. Does anybody know what Pentecost means? You don't know?
I don't know.
You don't know either? Well, Brooke is going to read a passage. All right, well, let's listen to Miss Brooke. She's going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. All right, don't blow. Just for a second. Listen.
When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to the rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
All right, so look at it, everybody. Look out there. Do you see tongues of flaming fire on anybody's heads? No, but if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you believe it's there, right? Yes. Yeah, we know it's there. The book just said it. The Bible just told us. If you're a believer, you have who inside of you? Who comes?
Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Right? Right, Benji?
Yeah.
Yes, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. He comes inside of us. Oh, Will sees his picture. I was like, what are you doing? Okay. You see yourself, the back of your, don't you? Yes, the Holy Spirit comes. That's why we celebrate today. Now, what are words for the Holy Spirit? He is our, say it with me, friend.
Friend.
Comforter.
Comforter.
Counselor.
Counselor.
So what does counselor mean? Do you know?
Somebody that does something.
Yeah, what kind of stuff would they do?
Schedule stuff.
Well, not just schedule, but would they give you words of advice?
Yes.
Yes. Counselors help us when we're in trouble. Has anyone ever been in trouble? Raise your hand.
No.
No, you haven't?
No.
I was going to say your mama said something else. Every day. Are you in trouble every day?
No.
No? Are you just being a boy? Is that what it is?
No.
No? Okay. Yes, you. Have you ever been in trouble?
No.
Oh, I don't know about that. You and Will, we need to talk with you afterwards, right? Yes, we do. So, it's important to have our Holy Spirit. He is the one that talks to us, that gives us directions from God. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. And that is why today is so important. We can know that the Holy Spirit is there because we hear him. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. All right, knock on the door. There you go. I stand at the door and knock. I lost my voice. Any man that hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. Revelation 3:20. Right, another way we know the Holy Spirit is there, that we can see him moving people to do God's will. All right, so after like a tornado happens, what do you see?
Debris.
Debris and?
Garbage.
People. People come in and help, right? Garbage doesn't help, no, but people can help and get rid of all that garbage, right? And help other people get back on their feet. And that's one way we can have the Holy Spirit moving, and we work into unity, like Barb was talking in her devotion earlier. We come together for a common goal, and that's to help others. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God moves his people to speak and do things for him, and that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. So we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know he's there because we feel his presence in our life. Anytime you ever feel like, I don't know if I should do this. Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah.
That is the Holy Spirit telling you. And if you choose to listen to him or not to listen to him. And sometimes if we don't listen to him, then we get in trouble, right? If we step out and try to do it on our own. We can get in trouble. There's a lot of blowing the Holy Spirit up here. Yeah. All right, so let's pray. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bow your heads, close your eyes, say it with me.
Yeah.
Dear Father.
Dear Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For sending.
Sending.
Your Holy Spirit.
Your Holy Spirit.
Even though.
Even though.
We can't see him.
We
are thankful.
Thankful.
That we can hear him.
That we can hear him.
Speak to our hearts.
Speak to our hearts.
Feel his presence.
Feel his presence.
In our daily lives.
In our daily lives.
And see him moving us.
See him moving us.
To do your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Go. Amen. All right, give your papers back to Brooke and we'll put it back in the paper. And then you can go have a seat until it's time to go downstairs.
Okay, this time of year, they usually have, well, last week they had the high school graduations and college graduations. And I was remembering back when I graduated many years ago. The theme of my graduation was Ecclesiastes 3 from 1 to 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, and a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, and a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. May we bow our heads in prayer. Give to the Lord, O family of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord and glory due his name, and bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beautiness of his holiness. And the children may, amen. And the children may go down to children's church. And the ushers can come up for the offering plates. And turn to your hymnal, the brown hymnals, to 81, Come Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. And we welcome our guests and visitors this morning who are visiting with us. We invite you to worship with us again. Before we have our time of prayer, I want to just raise a few prayer concerns. In your bulletin inserts, you'll see a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. Remember in Christian sympathy the Kraw family on the passing of Nettie Kraw. We had a wonderful celebration of life yesterday for Sister Nettie and her passing away. And we're pleased to have many of Nettie's family members worshiping with us today. So keep that family in prayer. And also, in your bulletins, you'll see an address change for Sister Pearl Fetter. Pearl Fetter now is in the Elmcroft home in Lebanon, so keep her in prayer. And also, we always want to pray for a church from the district, and this week, as you see, we're praying for White Oak Church of the Brethren, and the Ridgeway Community Church is praying for us. Also, I didn't get a chance to copy this, but I noticed in the newsline, in Church of the Brethren newsline, that there's efforts being made for the many tornado victims in the southern Ohio district. So keep the many of the people out there in prayer as they recover from tornado damage. Let's come to our God in prayer this morning. Gracious God, we just want to thank you and praise you for the time of worship, the honor that we have in gathering as a congregation this morning in worship. Lord, each day is a blessing that you give us. Help us to see the blessing of living each life for your honor and glory. We thank you for this particular Sunday, the Sunday of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, Lord, where you sent your Holy Spirit down on the church. And Lord, you just gave new life to the church. And we thank you for that gift of Pentecost. And God, we want to lift this morning the family of Nettie Kraw, who passed away. We thank you for Nettie's life, the witness that she had within this church. We thank you for her life, for the ministry that her and Clarence have done, not only here in this congregation, but also in Kentucky. And we thank you for their family who is with us today, worshiping with us today. We pray your comfort and strength to be with them at this time. We also want to lift up this morning Sister Pearl Fetter, Lord, who is failing in health. And we pray for her as she is in Elmcroft recovering from illnesses. And we just lift her up to you to give her, Lord, your physical strength and peace at this time. We lift up, Lord, our nation, our president, Lord, those leaders in Congress. Lord, we just pray that you would give them hearts to serve you, to see, Lord, that we are truly one nation under God. And if we are, we pray that our leaders would show that with their actions, with the decisions that they make, Lord, just guide them. We pray for our denomination that you would just help us just to be faithful, to be united. We just pray right now that we would be faithful to your calling as a church. And this week we do lift up the White Oak Church of the Brethren. We thank you for that church and for the ministry that they have done and that they are doing. We lift up the many ministers at White Oak, Lord. Just give them, Lord, your fire, your passion, Lord, to lead. And we pray your protection upon that church, Lord. Just guide them in their outreach and in their ministry. Lord, we pray that you would lead us now as you look into your holy word and hear the message, Lord, on the message of Pentecost. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We pray that you continue to guide us in this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we have a bulletin insert if you wish to follow along with this scripture text. This scripture text this morning is a very, very important scripture text. It is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This is the account of Pentecost. And I ask that you just take in these words of scripture and just imagine what this was like to be with the brothers and sisters when the Holy Spirit came down. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not all drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which guides us, gives us direction. And we pray now that you would guide the words of my mouth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Christ, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. If there is one theme, one phrase that we learn from Pentecost Sunday, it is this: God is always doing something new. That is a phrase. That is the main text. That is the main theme. God is always doing something new. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little comfortable with anything new. And the older I get, the more I like to talk about the good old days. How many here like to talk about the good old days? I do. I remember our first family TV. My parents bought our first TV 2 years before I was born. We weren't allowed to watch TV until that time, but we splurged and bought a black and white TV. I remember what it looked like. It was a big box like this, and it stood on four legs. And it has all these knobs. Remember those knobs on the TV? So many knobs. You know, brightness, horizon, whatever you want to call them. And these knobs were supposed to improve the picture of the TV. The only thing is it didn't work. Because on our TV, we would constantly see this blinking going on. And so what we would do as a family to fix that is take our fist and knock it against the TV, and presto, it worked. Remember those days? Black and white TV. Now, I want to give you another talk of the old days, only this is not quite as long ago. I remember the first time I heard an answering machine in a telephone call. I was in college. I was traveling home from college, and I was visiting my sister's place along the way. So I had a call ahead, so I found a phone booth. Remember phone booths? I put in 25 cents, made the call, no answer. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice, recorded voice, looked at the phone and go, what is this? A voice on the phone. And here it was, the first time I heard a voicemail, a voice on the telephone. Well, we laugh at those days, don't we, for those of us who remember that. Why is that? Because technology is always doing something new, just like God always does something new. But the question is, how does technology affect us? How does technology change us? You know, one change that I see with recent technology is that emails and texting, and I do that as well, I text, but emails and texting is really hindering our personal relationships. That's one way that technology is changing us, not for the better, by the way. Apply the same concept to God in this morning's text. Just like technology is always doing something new, God is always doing something new. But the question is this, and I want us to think about this. As God does something new, does it change us for his glory? Pentecost is God's way of saying that he is doing something new. Pentecost is known as the birthday of the church, where God poured out the Holy Spirit to people of all nations. It is a big event. Pentecost is a big event in the church. I like to make the comparison of Pentecost to the Super Bowl. What Pentecost means to the church is what the Super Bowl means for the NFL. It is big. It is big. Now let's look at the passage this morning from Acts 2. And let's see how God was doing something new and miraculous with Pentecost. And I want to begin by looking at the amazing results of Pentecost. And look at Acts 2, verse 41. We didn't get to read that far. But this is what happened after Pentecost. The church began to grow. And it says in that verse, those who gladly received his word, that is the word of Jesus Christ, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. So that is one incredible miracle, that thousands of people came to the Lord. Another miraculous event is that the apostles received authority through the Holy Spirit. They received authority to do miracles and healings in Jesus' name. God was doing something new. But Pentecost should not just be a story that we read in the Bible. Pentecost should cause us to look at our own hearts with God and the Holy Spirit, and it should cause us to say, hey, are we changed as Christians? like it did to the disciples. Does Pentecost change us in our own spiritual walk? Does Pentecost change the church and bring new life to the church through the Holy Spirit like it did the apostles? Let's look at what happened on Pentecost, and in your inserts, number one, the church, the early church, was devoted to prayer and unity among the believers. That's what was happening before Pentecost. The disciples were devoted to prayer and unity. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the very first verse. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, who are they? Pentecost began with the disciples, the 12 disciples who were united in spirit. These were the 12 disciples of Jesus, and they were in, more than likely, they were in the upper room right after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven. They were there in one place, in one spirit, in one accord, in prayer. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. We see that. It says, these, that is the 12, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So they are all in constant prayer together in the same place. You know, God likes it when the church is devoted to prayer in one accord. God likes to see his people. God likes to see Christians who are in the spirit of unity and purpose in one prayer. That is when God does his greatest work. Let's look at that, a miracle that happened after Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. This is one miracle that took place after Pentecost where God was really using the disciples. In particular here, he's talking about Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 is where Peter was in prison. The Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, that Peter was in prison. But it says, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Okay, and what happened after that? It says in verse 7, an angel of the Lord stood by Peter and raised him up, and the chains fell off his hands. Peter was chained to two soldiers in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The angel comes along after prayer, and chains fell off his hands. That is an example of how God was doing something new. And one thing that tells us also, not just the miracle, but the fact that no one in the church at that time ever saw a miracle take place like this before or after Pentecost. And it happened through Peter, the disciple, who was changed after Pentecost. Have you ever seen God do a miracle like that in your own life? If we are a church that's devoted to prayer and unity like the disciples, we will see this kind of miracle. We will see people come to the Lord like it did at Pentecost. Second, in your insert, the miracle of Pentecost came from heaven. Now, this is important to know because many times people label Pentecost as, well, that's just something for the Pentecostal church. Or Pentecost is just for Christians who speak in tongues. It's wrong. That's wrong thinking because Pentecost is not about a denomination. It's not about a tradition. It's about how it came from heaven. Look what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is how it began. And it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now I want you to think about God's timing when it comes to the word suddenly, it happened. Think of God's timing. When did this happen? Well, God planned this to happen through the words of Jesus. Look back at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is before Pentecost. This is after Jesus' resurrection. It's before he ascended to heaven. He had a message. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He's talking to the disciples. He's telling them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That was the prophecy that Jesus gave the disciples, that this day is going to happen where you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. So the disciples knew that God would give them this power. They didn't know exactly when. Some biblical commentators believe where the Bible says that suddenly a sound came from heaven, that meant the miracle of the Holy Spirit came to the disciples sooner than they expected. They didn't know when, but it came sooner. God's timing when Pentecost began was perfect. Perfect planning from God. Now, how do you know when something is from God? Now, I know in my personal prayer life, when I pray for a particular prayer concern or prayer need, and if God answers that prayer in a way that I would not have expected, that I know is from God. When I know that it's not from me, that's kind of how I see this happening. Pentecost came by surprise. It took them by surprise. But yet, it came from heaven. It was not planned. It was not planned through a church committee. It was not planned from any leaders. It all came from heaven. Third, in your inserts, the Holy Spirit gave the disciples the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 2, 3 to 4. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit who gave the ability for the disciples to speak in other tongues. God gave these 12 disciples that ability. God gave the disciples this gift in order for them to be used by God and grow and expand the church in other parts of the world. One important point to see, where the Bible says that the fire rested upon each of the disciples, that is not a literal fire. It's something like fire. It symbolizes who God is. It symbolizes the presence of God. It symbolizes the holiness of God, the purity of God. That was a fire that God sent to the disciples. It was mainly to show that, hey, God is here, God is there, God is with you through this time. My question for the church to think about is this. Is this fire still burning among you and I today in the church? Has the fire grown cold over the years? Have we in the church become ho-hum, where we don't expect God to do much of anything on Sundays? Have our hearts grown cold to the point where we might not even look forward to coming to church anymore? That's a good point that we need to think about. Pentecost is not so much about the gift of speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are legitimate gifts from God. They are definitely gifts from God that He gives certain believers. But it's more about the fire of God among the people in the church, and to ask ourselves, is the fire still burning within our hearts and within the church? So in other words, it begins with us. And that leads to the fourth point. Pentecost expanded from the disciples to the crowd in Jerusalem. If you look at Acts 2, verses 5 through 11, I'm not going to read through that, but it's talking about how the Holy Spirit then led the disciples into Jerusalem. And this happened during the time of the Feast of Pentecost, where thousands and thousands of people from all over the world at that time came to Jerusalem during the annual event called Pentecost. 16 different nations, if we could put that on the screen, if it's there. We can see that on the screen here. I found this this so-called map of the nations of Pentecost, where they're approximately, we don't know exactly how many. I think there's like 16 mentioned in the scriptures, but many of these nations all gathered together into the place called Jerusalem. And the main point was the sound of the Holy Spirit, which was heard from all these people from many nations. And if you look at that map, you can see these nations. Some of these nations I never heard about, I must admit. Some of these nations may sound familiar. Like if you look at Elam, that Elam would be over near where present-day Iraq would be. Libya, on the far end, would be in Africa. And then, of course, you have Rome. And all the people of these nations were gathered together in Jerusalem, which is the location where Pentecost happened. And if you look at that, you might be thinking, well, this was back then. This was back in Jesus' time. It's not like it is today. You might be thinking, well, it's a lot more difficult today. We have a lot more nations today. We have more divisions between the nations today. Well, let me tell you, there is just as many divisions between the nations of Jesus' time as there is today. There are many nations, many different cultures coming together through the Holy Spirit, which shows how miraculous this was, where you have all these nations and all these different languages, yet they understood each other through the Holy Spirit. What's the main point of this expansion that we see? It's to show that God wants the gospel message of Jesus Christ to go forth into the world and to expand beyond the barriers of nations, cultures, and traditions. God is able to overcome our own barriers that we might make within ourselves. You know, God is able to overcome the barriers that we create maybe within our own homes. You know, this can also reach out to our neighbors for Christ. You know, sometimes we put up our own barriers. Well, God is able to put down those barriers for Jesus Christ. It is to prove what the Bible says in verse 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Every language, every tongue had one thing in common. They all proclaimed the wonderful miracles of God. That is one thing that we can celebrate today on Pentecost Sunday. God is no respecter of miracles. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 10, verse 34, God shows no partiality. You know, God is able to perform miracles to each one of us who are here this morning. No matter our differences, we can celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's one miracle that we can celebrate on Pentecost Sunday. Fifth, in your inserts, Pentecost was prophesied by the prophet Joel in the Holy Scriptures. Pentecost during Bible times was not some newfangled teaching where anything goes. This was planned by God through the prophetic word. If you look at verses 14 through 21, I'm not going to read through that, but this is Peter's sermon, which proved that this was not some kind of far-out teaching. But what Joel meant, he says that sons and daughters shall prophesy. In other words, that was telling everybody that God is going to use people that he never used before. Maybe even unlikely people. And as to be expected, there were people at Pentecost who didn't believe this. There were people at Pentecost who were mockers. They were people who didn't believe that this was from God. If you look at verse 13, It says there's others mocking said they're full of new wine. They didn't. In other words, they're mocking this. It's as if something is new, they think it's no good. Which says that anytime God is moving, anytime you have God doing a good thing, a new thing, you're going to always find people who mock. You're going to find people who have doubt that this is from God, and they'll attack those who God is using. So then what happened then after that? Well, this is where we find another disciple stepping up, and his name is Peter. After the ones were mocking this new teaching, so to speak, Peter, who is bold and outspoken, sometimes too much outspoken, but this time Peter is right on target, and he gave a sermon where he backed up everything that happened at Pentecost through Scripture, through the prophet Joel. And when you and I back up anything by Scripture, you can't go wrong. And that's what Peter did. One biblical commentator said this: "Thank the Lord for the Peters who are prepared to stand up and point out to the people that these things are the work of men and women." The bottom line of the result of Pentecost was that more and more people would become saved who came from non-traditional backgrounds. It opened to the door to the church to expand to include Jews and Gentiles, the unlikely people of that time. It just proves that you and I can never tell who God will use. But if we know that it is from God, we know that God will use it for his glory. And finally, I want us to see the main point of Pentecost, and that's the last verse, Acts 2:21. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, people talk about how there's controversy among the church about Pentecost. But you know what? If you focus on that one verse, then it means everything. Pentecost is all about people coming to the Lord. It's about people calling on the name of the Lord for salvation, and how the gospel message of Jesus Christ went out to many nations, and the Christians had the fire of the Holy Spirit within them. Some of you might be thinking, have I received the Holy Spirit this morning? It's a good question to think about. Good question to think about. Today, it is not too late to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Apostle Peter preached to the people who were lost. They didn't know what to do. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37, some of the people were thinking, what shall we do about this? And Peter simply said in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You could receive that today. If you're tired of living the ho-hum life of a Christian, if you're tired of being lukewarm in your faith, this can change today if you simply confess to God and say, hey, I really need a change in my life. God, will you change me? As God spoke to the people at Pentecost, God can speak to you and I today through his Holy Spirit. He can do that if we call on his name. Let us pray. God, we just thank you for the miracle that you have done, for the miracle that you're doing now. And God, we just pray that, Lord, that you would restore to us, Lord, the fire, that if that fire is not burning within our hearts, Lord, that you would restore that, Lord God. We just pray, Lord, that we would confess anything this morning within our own lives, Lord. If you want to move, Lord, we ask, Lord, if you move among the people today, Lord, that they would receive that, and they would ask that, Lord, that you would give that gift of the Holy Spirit to them, Lord. And we would give you, Lord, all the praise, honor, glory, For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we sing our closing song, I invite anyone this morning, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you just need a prayer request, or if you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward and I can pray over you. Or this morning, if you just want to have time of prayer on your own, you can do that as we sing our closing song. Our closing hymn speaks about the Holy Spirit. It's Fill Me Now. Would you all stand and turn your hymnals to number 80. Number 80. Is taken from Acts 2, verse 39, where Peter talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says, "For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." As we leave, let us take that promise with us today. Amen.